As an artist, I get a lot of the same questions.
How long have you been drawing? What materials do you use?
A lot of new creators spend so much time wanting to learn the technical, but I always wondered, what about the mental? Art block, imposter syndrome, pencil paralysis. Why are these the things that tend to fall on the back burner? Well, I'm Ashley Cassaday, a digital artist and illustrator that spends way too much time in her own head asking about these things. So I figured I would invite everyone along to keep me company as we chat about these topics that aren't touched on enough in the art community. Because let's be real, us artists have some of the quirkiest personalities, in the best way. So I invite you to grab a cup of coffee and your sketchbook and sit back and relax as we hash it all out together. This is The Anxious Artist. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. And for everyone who joined me on the last intro episode, thank you. Today, we are going to get into the first official episode of the Anxious Artist podcast. For those of y'all, if you're tuning in for the first time, my name is Ashley Cassaday, and I am a digital artist and illustrator. And you can find more about me at www.ashleycassaday.com, Ashley Cassaday Art on Instagram, and Ashley_Cassaday on Twitter. I was really happy to see that there was some positive reception to the intro episode of this podcast. And I hadn't gotten into the nitty gritty yet, but I'm going to get into part of that today. And I'm going to start this podcast mainly like with the one summary question, or basically idea of what does it mean to be an anxious artist? And as a disclaimer, this goes for this episode and every episode that I do, because obviously one of the main reasons with this podcast is talking about mental health, but I wanted to put out there that I am not a medical professional, I am not a psychologist, and thus it is not my place to give out any kind of medical diagnosis. Unless if I do say something, then it would most likely be with research and a source, but otherwise anything that I'm talking about here, what other people are talking about, unless they're a medical professional, it's all very subjective to their experience. So I wanted to put that out there just so that way people don't suspect that I'm trying to like armchair diagnose certain things. Because the main thing, again, with this podcast is I wanted to talk about, you know, the connection between artists and how our mental health impacts how we create in this day and age. So anyway, going back to what I was saying, yeah, I think the main thing is, again, what does it mean to be an anxious artist? As I mentioned before, I've been dealing with anxiety for a large chunk of my life. And, you know, it would even be safe to say that I finally didn't even get the reins on it completely. I don't even want to say completely because, you know, anxiety and depression never go away. But I finally felt the strongest handling it in the last couple years. And, you know, it's still a journey and there's still a lot of things that I try to tackle. And I'm very much self-reflective and realize that, you know, as people we change and, you know, how we interact with people changes, how our mind changes, so on and so forth. So what it means to be an anxious artist, I wanted to kind of just give a background on kind of my experience in the art industry and kind of what happened during that time from being an artist with crippling anxiety up into today where I have a newfound confidence in my art and at least a stronger foothold. And again, this is all very subject to me. So, you know, with me as an artist, you know, it's just kind of a shame because, you know, I always think back to when we were kids, you know, especially if you were an artist when you were a kid, you know, I want you to think back to what made you happy and what made you want to be an artist. And I'm sure a lot of people can say is like, you know, when I was a kid, like I loved to draw. And when we were younger, we didn't have these worries about, you know, what should I draw? How should I draw? What do people think of my art? All that stuff. We were just younger and, you know, starry-eyed. And we were like, you know what? If I like this thing, I want to draw it. Like I remember so much, like I think through elementary and middle school, I spent so much time just like, I remember I would sit in my room with just a huge stack of computer paper and a pencil and a clipboard, and I would draw my favorite characters from video games and movies that I loved. And like, there would be times where I would pause the game in a cutscene or a movie just so I can try to replicate the character on screen or even like morph it. And when I did that, there was no pressure at all. It was just, you know, my catharsis, and I didn't think about what other people thought about my drawings. I just did it. But as I got older, you know, as we all do, and especially in high school, I started to think about, you know, okay, like I knew I wanted to do something with art as a career, and where would that take me? What would I need to do to achieve that dream? So I think that's where the first thing that started to stifle my art started to bloom was, you know, getting a job in the art industry, which I knew I wanted to do digital art. And so I would say it's been about 10 years now, exactly 10 years actually, since I graduated high school. And so when you want to be a digital artist, especially back in the day, there's usually one or two careers that, you know, are commonly associated with digital art, which is either working in a gaming studio or working as an animator. If you were kind of just set on, you know, getting a salary job in a corporate field. And so thus, that was what I wanted to do. So through college, you know, I pursued that, and college kind of started making my anxiety worse because I had the pressure of, you know, keeping up my grades because I had a scholarship and everything. But that was a time where, while I did enjoy the art that I was creating, that was the time where I started to really put myself in a box. And it's kind of funny because I always think that I was open-minded in college, but I really wasn't, where I was just very stubborn. And I said, you know what, I am going to work in this game company. Like, and my dream was, you know, when I graduated from college, once I got my diploma, I would go out into the working world. I would submit my portfolio to a couple companies. I would get an offer, and that would be it. It would be happily ever after. And so that was my first mistake, was setting those preset notions for myself as an artist of, oh, my portfolio is good enough, I'm going to get this job. Like, and so also too, when I was building my portfolio, it was very much driven on, okay, let's say, for example, I wanted to work for Blizzard. If I wanted to work for Blizzard, I knew that I need to fill my portfolio with orcs or fantasy characters or, you know, concept art turnarounds. And even though these are things I knew to a degree how to draw, I don't want to say that that was like my passion. Like, I didn't want to just always draw orcs or characters from World of Warcraft. So I was hyper-focusing on building a portfolio of art that I guess wasn't genuinely me. And I'll kind of come back to this, because this is something that stuck with me for a long while, because for the longest time I had the dream of working in the game studio. But anyway, and the other thing too also was also social media. This was a time too when I was using Instagram as a platform for my art. So also too, not only was I worrying about what art directors would think of my art, I was also worried about what people on the internet thought of my art. So back then my thought was, okay, if my art isn't accumulating a bunch of likes on DeviantArt or on Instagram, then it's not worth looking at. And so I was always very driven to post all the time and just have stuff up there. But anyway, those two things kind of spearheaded the tough times that I was beginning to face as an artist dealing with anxiety, because the anxiety of getting a job and a career in art kind of took control of my creative intuition, because I was starting to lose that childlike quality in me of, like, you know, I just want to draw this for this. It went from, I want to draw, you know, Ghibli characters or whatever it was I was doing when I was a kid because I want to, and it transformed into, okay, I need to draw these. So I think that's the big thing there. My style of drawing changed from what I want to draw to what I need to draw. And so anyway, once I graduated from college, I again was very optimistic, and I had the expectation that I would work for a company. And lo and behold, that I probably submitted to several gaming companies all over the country. I did not get a response from any of them. None at all. And of course, I was crushed. And that's when things started to spiral out of control. The floodgate was opened because my anxiety was fueled by getting a job and doing well. And that at that time, that wasn't working out for me. Like, I thought, I'm not getting this job in the gaming studio like I would hope for. I'm not meeting my own goals. And so thus my anxiety started to spike because I thought I wasn't going to be successful and that I had wasted my time. Well, luckily, after the fact, about a month and a half later after graduating from college, I did get my first job, and it wasn't in a gaming studio. I got it in a toy company here in Dallas. And even though it wasn't a gaming studio, it was still it still had a similar environment to a gaming studio where, you know, we had the art department and like we were working on projects together. We were making toys. And I guess I was in this honeymoon phase with it because it actually was really quite fun for a while. You know, I got to illustrate a bunch of fun and cute things. I even did work for Disney, or with Disney and with Nickelodeon through that company. And so thus, you know, thus started the corporate world. Well, after a certain amount of time, or during this time I was working at this company, my personal art started to fall on the back burner. And I'm just going to put a pin in that for the moment. But my personal art started falling on the back burner. And probably about maybe 4 months in, 5 months in, I started to see a change at my work. The honeymoon phase was wearing off, and there were some things that were happening there that were lending to make the job much more unhappy for me, or much more enjoyable, such as, you know, there was some problems with a coworker who controlled everything that I drew. I always responded to him. My job in drawing illustrations suddenly started changing into drawing die lines for boxes for products. And as things started switching and changing, my desire to work in a gaming company came back. And so, but the thing is though, it kind of became this kind of like infinite effect where I was working 9 to 5, sometimes 9 to 10 if we had a big deadline, working on art for this company, and I never had time to work on my personal art. And I still thought I wanted to work in a gaming studio. I need to get out of here. I was unhappy and my anxiety was sizzling up because now, like, yes, I have a job, but this job is like, I'm not happy drawing these things anymore. The environment was changing. I was working long hours, a lot of these things. And so these factors of the pressure of working in a corporate workplace, the lack of time to work on my own personal art, and on top of that, working on things that had no value to me, that I wasn't excited about, that fed back into my depression and anxiety. And it made it really, really tough for me for the longest time because I'd always been an artist. I always knew that no matter what it would be, art would be my career, and it still will be my career in some shape or form. Even if my hands get chopped off tomorrow, like, I would find some way to still talk about art. But those three factors, you know, kind of fed back into the identity of my anxiety, which was my goal was to be a professional artist and be happy and make a living from it. And even though I was making a living, two of those three factors, like not making projects that I enjoyed and working, like, you know, 9 to 5 in an environment that I wasn't enjoying, it made it very, very hard. So my anxiety got the best of me, and it definitely started to impact my personality in the workplace, which, you know, which made it very, very hard. And I know my coworkers and stuff saw it too. And about 11 months after starting that job, I unfortunately was let go. I was let go, and luckily I was laid off, so I was given severance and unemployment. But I mean, I'm sure you can imagine, you know, especially someone right out of college getting let go or laid off from their very first job. That was kind of a nail in the coffin for a while. It crushed me because not only was I didn't have another plan, I failed. I voiced to myself that I failed working as an artist in the corporate world. And so that definitely took a hit on me. So kind of just to sum up just so far, I'm not telling this story to be like, oh, well, this is my dramatic autobiography. Like, no, absolutely not. But I wanted to kind of give a taste of where the correlations between my anxiety as an artist and how this has transitioned so far, because there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So after I got laid off at that job, luckily at the time I was still young. I was living at home because I was saving up money, and that's where I stayed through college to save even more money. So during that time when I was unemployed, I spent my days, you know, obviously job hunting, but I also decided I got a good suggestion from my mom, which was to go for my teaching certificate. What she said was, you know, even if you don't use it, it's good to have in your back pocket in case more circumstances like this happen, because there's no shortage of teaching jobs, luckily, in where I am. And so thus, during the 4 months I was unemployed, I did do that. I took my severance money to put back into a teaching certificate program. So I worked on that, but also I was kind of grateful for this small span of time because I was able to kind of get back into what kind of art I liked again. I remember at that time I was looking at a lot of like contemporary oil painters, fantasy oil painters that I loved, and trying to explore again what my artistic voice was. And what my artistic identity was. Like, what was it that I liked to draw? And this was a struggle for a while. You know, even though I did draw, I still did not figure out what was the one thing that brought me joy. So after going through that, I got my first teaching job and teaching at a private school, teaching art there, both traditional and digital. And that is where I still am today. And I've been there for, this will be my 5th year coming up. And so during that time being a teacher, it was kind of funny because when I was in college, I had a professor that told me you would be a good teacher. And I actually, entertained the idea a little bit back when I was in college, but it was a little bit too late. And so now being a teacher, that time doing that has definitely helped me change a lot of my perspective in being an artist, such as, luckily with teachers, even though we work our butts off, you know, a lot of people don't believe that, but truly we do. Luckily, I was given a flexible schedule. There was no 9 to 10 o'clock at night, like deadlines. It was from 7:30 to 3:30 or 4:30 in the afternoon, which allowed me to come home and work on personal art and study and experiment. And, you know, during this time, like I will say during this time too, I still was fancying the idea of working in a gaming studio because it was kind of going back and forth. But over time, especially learning what I learned about the corporate world in the gaming industry, I wanted to be a part of it less and less because I started learning a little bit more about myself as a person and how I dealt with anxiety and where that came from and depression. And so that kind of leads me into how learning to get help and learning to self-reflect allowed my art to flourish. I took that time when I was in, I think it was about my 2nd year of working at this school, I finally started going to therapy. And that helped a lot. That helped me put in perspective a lot of things in regards to my anxiety. And also, too, kind of learning to be happy with where I was at. Because not only was I, you know, at this job, I truly do enjoy my job teaching there. Because I was very fortunate that the school that I taught at, it allowed me to be open with new opportunities in art, such as my boss like knew I was doing freelance. She knew I was going to conventions. She knew I was doing digital art, and she encouraged me to pursue those things while in the realm of still, you know, obviously taking care of my job at the school. And because of that, in combination with therapy, you know, it allowed me to have a lot of time to self-reflect and think, you know, based on my personality, I'm definitely like in my anxiety and depression, I'm definitely not a person that works well under super, super high pressure. I'm definitely not a person who, you know, is well with social interactions, which that has changed quite a bit. But also too, I learned more about the fact that after learning about the art industry, that I was never meant to be a concept artist. And that was something, that was a lie I told myself for years. Or I don't want to say me tell myself, but my anxiety told me for years. Cause like I said in the beginning, my anxiety told me, okay, as a digital artist, you need to get a job. What job can you get as a digital artist? Well, you can be a concept artist, working in games, or you can work in animation or graphic design, but graphic design was not my thing. But anyway, so the whole tiny thought of working in games, that will get you money in a job, that wasn't fueled by me. It took me years, especially after getting a hold of my anxiety, to realize that as an artist, I was never meant to be a concept artist. I was meant to be more of an illustrator. I was meant to be more of a teacher, more of an art advocator. And it's just so funny that my anxiety really fueled that false pretense of what my artistic identity was. So once I got a hold of that and realized that the gaming industry and whatnot wasn't for me, it just shocked me that, you know, I'm okay just being an illustrator. And that's not to say that my doors are closed. Absolutely not. I don't know what the future may bring. But when I said at the beginning what it means to be an anxious artist, you know, and there's many answers to this question. Well, hopefully I can answer more of them. But in pertaining to what kind of artist you are mainly, like to be an anxious artist means, you know, it's good to reflect. It's very important to reflect. It's very, very important to let that anxiety, don't ignore that anxiety, but let that anxiety guide you into what you're truly meant to be. Which, even though my anxiety told me you need to be a concept artist and working in a gaming studio, my anxiety, you know, going down that path helped me and educate myself, helped me learn that that wasn't really meant for me. It helped me learn that being a digital illustrator and a teacher was where my niche was, at least for this point in my life. So being an anxious artist, you know, there were a lot of pressures too on me. And that's something to go back to too. I let go. Being an anxious artist at the beginning meant that I was letting too much of the societal norms in the art world to spearhead what I truly enjoyed with art. And this might look different for everybody. Like I said from the beginning, this is very, very subjective. But for me, my anxiety taught me that I don't make art for other people. I don't have to make art for the art directors all the time. I do not have to make art for the likes on Instagram or DeviantArt or ArtStation, whatever. I make art for me because it feeds my soul. And when I finally learned that after getting a hold of things, I saw a huge transition in my work. I learned that I really loved, like when I was learning concept art, I was painting things that I hated, like buildings, spaceships, mechanical objects, sci-fi. And when I learned that instead that I liked painting people, mostly females. I liked painting flowers and organics and fantasy figures and slight surrealism. Those are the things that I could sit down and paint and truly be happy with. So it was, and I was okay with that. If someone didn't like what I painted, then that meant that they weren't my audience. That didn't mean that I was a bad artist. It just meant that my art didn't cater to them. And that the fact that you can't please everybody. So what it means to be an anxious artist, it means that, you know, for a while, you're going to think that your art is for other people. You're going to think that you have to be in certain situations. But, you know, it's very important to get a hold of that, because that can also be something that fuels you to discover who you truly are creatively and who are the ones that are true fans of your art. And I hope I'm not rambling too much, because I kind of keep going on and on, but I just can't emphasize enough about how, and this is also too, another thing too, this journey that I took, this has all been in the last 6 years. No, five or 6 years alone. So it does not happen overnight. learning who you are as an artist and what your creative voice is, it is not something that you will, that will come easily, but it comes from listening to your anxiety and what fuels your anxiety. And by zeroing in on what that is, helping you to discover what it is that, what your true artistic identity is as a person. So, and just to sum up, to kind of wrap up this episode, what does it mean to be an anxious artist? There's tons of different things, but I hope that my experience can kind of help you learn what that means for you. And that could pertain to, you know, your journey. It's not going to be the same as mine. I have friends, for example, right now, they're just getting into conventions for the first time. I have friends that are just wanting to start art. And so you need to look at that for yourself and kind of discover what it is that might be holding you back, or actually might, and how it might boost you forward. So I hope that this intro episode kind of on my background gives a lot of insight and kind of also, again, like adds to more of what I want to talk about on this podcast, because there's definitely, my anxiety is definitely not gone. Absolutely not. And it's still, you know, it can still be quite a bit of a butt from time to time, you know, pertaining to things. And like, it's definitely had a hand in, you know, how I dealt with freelance. It had a hand in how I deal with conventions. It had a hand in, you know, even me meeting other creatives. And there's no time to talk about that on this episode today, but I hope in the future, especially soon, we can kind of speak on that. So, again, guys, I hope that this story has been helpful and interesting. I hope I didn't go on too many tangents. I hope I was able to sum it up mostly. But as usual, I hope that you enjoyed it. If you did enjoy this episode, please do give us this podcast a 5-star rating on, hopefully on Apple. I know at the time of this podcast being published, it is not available on Apple yet, but once it is, please give it a 5-star rating if you liked it, so that way we can reach more people. And also too, again, if you guys have questions, like I would love to take some listener questions for me to answer on this podcast, and I'm more than happy to answer them anonymously and kind of just give my 2 cents on these issues. So thanks again, guys, for tuning in. Again, I'm so grateful for y'all even taking the time to listen to me ramble for about 30 minutes. And so hopefully next time we'll have some new interesting topics. And until then, I will catch you on the next one. Thanks again for watching The Anxious Artist. Goodbye, beautiful people, and I will see you later. Thanks again for tuning in to The Anxious Artist Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to drop a 5-star rating or review on iTunes so we can reach more thought-riddled creatives like you around the world. Also, have a question or topic that you want us to chat about? Shoot it my way to ashleycassidyart@gmail.com, and we may get to it on a future episode. As always, I so appreciate you stopping by, and I'll make sure to catch you guys on the next one. Stay artsy, my friends.